Welcome to this week's episode of the Morningside Hoops podcast. Kyle Matrician, Steve Merrill. Steve, it's a good week.
It is.
It's a good week.
It's a good week.
We've got two wins to talk about this week. The Columbia men's and women's basketball teams were both successful this past Saturday, with the men winning almost at the wire against Brown, 74-72. And the women, with perhaps their most dominant performance of the season at Brown on Saturday, 78-40, started the game on a 15-0 run. But we'll, of course, talk about that during our two interview segments. But, Steve, I'm glad you made it in today with all the snow outside.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't too bad as I thought it was going to be. I feel like a lot of the time the weather gets played up and, you know, people get all bent out of shape about how bad it's going to be. But we both made it.
That's right.
And
that's right.
We're ready for episode 6.
Don't worry. I'm parked right on 120th and Broadway. Just had to ask a guy to move his car so
that's
I could
great.
Park there in the snow. I literally plowed over some snow with my bumper to fit into a spot.
Did you need your snow boots?
No okay. Snow boots today.
Sneakers.
As you can see,
done.
Yeah, the blue sneakers.
Okay.
The Smurf sneakers got it done.
And now we're here rolling with the headsets for
now we're
another
here.
Episode.
I know. I'm super excited to talk. We are going to start with the women this week. It's going to be Emily Montez and Marta Yama. Marta is, of course, a first year from Estonia. The fans have not seen her in action yet because, unfortunately, she did tear her ACL in the season opener against Stony Brook. So that's why she's been out. But she will definitely be back next year. And Emily is a sophomore on the team, and I'm super interested to talk to both of them because Emily went through that exact same injury in the preseason last year, was out the year, now is back. So it's nice to kind of have the two of them together, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, that'll be a good conversation. And then on the men's side, we have Junior Blair Thompson, local product right here in New York City. We've had him on before, so it's always good to catch up with him and see how he's doing, see how the men's team's getting ready for the Dartmouth-Harvard back-to-back this weekend.
Yes, and of course, he had the big play.
He did. He had the game-winning putback with 8 seconds left, and that 74-72 win over Brown snapped the Lions' seven-game losing streak. Hopefully, that win can right the ship here, and they can start stacking a few. They overcame a 15-point deficit in the second half, and they finished on a 17-3 run over the last five-plus minutes of that game.
Nice.
So, good momentum booster, too, not only to win, but to have the confidence build that you have.
That's true. And hopefully that confidence and momentum carries over into the weekend.
Absolutely.
And fingers crossed, we got more wins to talk about next week.
Yep.
But with that being said, let's head to our quick break. Mike Kowalski is going to tell you about Coke. And when we come back, we're going to be speaking to Emily Montez and Marta Yama.
We all know what comes with being a fan, the ups, the downs, and everything in between. Share a Coke with a friend. Coca-Cola, the official beverage of the Columbia Lions.
And welcome into our first interview segment of this week's episode, Kyle Matrician, Steve Merrill. And we are joined by two players from the Columbia women's basketball team, Emily Montez, a sophomore from Miami, went to Palmer Trinity. And a lot of people may not know, but they've seen her on the sideline, first year Marta Yama from Estonia. Tallinn?
Yep.
Tallinn, Estonia. Thank you two for joining us today.
Grateful to be here.
Yes, thanks for taking the time. Exciting times for the Columbia women's basketball program. They are 17-4 overall. They are 8-0 for the first time in program history in Ivy League play, off to an 8-0 start. And obviously every game's big, so everywhere like two big games coming up.
But yep.
Two games coming up this weekend, home games. You guys play five of your last six at home for which is a nice change to all the road games you guys have. But playing Dartmouth here Friday night at 7. That'll be Play for K night. You guys are being wearing some pink warm-ups I've seen and I've heard. And that'll also be Barnard night, which I'm excited that you're on the podcast this week, Emily, because we'll talk to you about that. And Sunday is the rematch with Harvard on ESPNU. That'll be at 12 noon. That game got flexed to Sunday for TV. So hopefully another two-pack crowds this weekend for Dartmouth and Harvard.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's also alumni weekend, so
that's
it's
right.
Be great to show out in front of our alumni.
Oh my God, Emily, I need you to host this podcast for me.
Kyle, we should throw in 6-0 on the home floor this season.
Well, we'll talk about a lot of things, Steve. But first, let's get to know Emily and Marta a little bit for our podcast listening audience. So, Emily, just introduce you a little bit, a sophomore from Miami. Just talk to us, you know, introduce yourself to the podcast listening audience. I know this is your first year actually playing because you suffered an injury, which we'll get into last season, but just introduce yourself.
Yeah. So, my name's Emily. I'm a sophomore. I go to Barnard. I got injured, I think, the first scrimmage last year, so I didn't get a chance to play. But similar to Marta's injury, actually, we actually suffered the same thing. So I tore my ACL and partially tore my meniscus. But back and better than ever this season. And it's been really exciting, like, even just, like, being out there and playing. It's just so different, and it's so rewarding, like, being on the sidelines last year, like, you dive into certain things in a different perspective, but it's just so different when you're playing the sport. And I'm just so glad that I'm back out there and back out there with my teammates.
Nice. And it's great to see you out there this year. Oh, it really is.
Thank you.
And Marta, as we said, a first year from Estonia. It's got to be the first person we've ever had on this team from Estonia.
Yeah.
So, like, introduce yourself, but also tell us how that happened. How did you find out about Colombia and meet, I'm sure, somebody on the coaching staff and wind up here?
Yeah, I'm from Estonia, and coaches reached out to me, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many years ago? And then, like, what eventually went into the decision to decide to come here?
I think it was, like, last December when I committed.
Okay.
And they reached out in, like, September area, maybe.
Okay. Obviously, Colombia being in New York City is such an international destination. Mm-hmm. How did they find you? Like, were you playing in a tournament, like a Euro tournament or something like that?
Yeah, it was European Championship, under 18, I guess. And we weren't doing so good with the Estonian team, but I think I was playing good.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you got their attention.
Talk about that a little bit. You were, obviously, you play club basketball in Estonia for club teams, but you also were part of the Estonian national team in the program, correct? So,
yeah.
I mean, talk about that experience a little bit.
Well, I've been in Estonian national team since I was 14, I guess. And last 2 years, I've been also invited to, like, senior national team, which been an honor for sure. I mean, it's fun to travel with national teams and play against professionals.
Yeah.
And, like, even when I was younger, playing against those young stars, you know.
Yeah.
It was experience for sure.
What countries or, I guess, what are some of the places you've gone to with the Estonian national team that, like, really stand out?
I don't even know.
You've probably been to so many countries.
Yeah, in Europe, though, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think UK was nice. What else?
I gotta tell Suze that.
Yeah, Bulgaria was good. I don't know. There were so many.
Have you been to, like, some countries outside of Europe, or is it mainly just Europe?
Mainly Europe. Yeah, when I was younger, I went to Russia, too. But it wasn't with national team.
Okay. So I also want to talk to you about being from Estonia. Mm-hmm. What are some of the big differences you've noticed in being in the United States? And Emily has given you a look and a face because Emily wants to know.
We all want to learn something.
Yes.
I think everything is so much bigger here.
Okay.
And, like, people are so much more friendly.
I thought you were about to say the people are
I know.
So much bigger. I was going to be like, wow,
thanks. They're so loud, too. Like, damn, give me my space, please. Everything, the buildings, like the grocery stores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about the food scene in Estonia? We always mention, you know, the food in these different countries. Tell us about that. What's good there?
In Estonia, everything is good. Mm. You go to the grocery store, you can buy anything, and it's good.
We talked to Maria when we had her on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and she was telling us, like, kind of what traditional Serbian food is like. So what is, like, if you have a home-cooked meal in Estonia, like, what are you eating?
Probably potatoes with some meat sauce.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not like A1 meat sauce. Have you had A1 steak sauce here? Do you know what that is?
No idea.
No, it's a steak sauce. It's probably terrible compared to...
Coach Ty always asks for it whenever we go to hotels.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sometimes they have it on the table during, like, meals and breakfast and stuff. It's like one of the condiments that are just sitting on the table.
Mm.
You're like, terrible.
Don't,
I know.
Don't,
you're like, don't eat it. Well, awesome. Thanks for introducing yourself to us a little bit. And as we did talk about, it is super interesting to have you both on this podcast together today because, Marta, you suffered the same injury that Emily suffered at the beginning of last season. Mm-hmm. So have you guys developed, I'll just put it out there. Have you guys developed like a closer relationship? You feel like because Marta's going through exactly what you went through last year?
Yeah, I would say so. I just remember how tough it was for me. Like, you know, I've never really been majorly injured before, like sprained ankles, broken fingers here and there, but never really sidelined me for that long.
Yeah.
And I just remember how like almost heartbreaking it was for me. So like having that person that could be someone like we literally suffered the same injury, so we have so much we can connect on, and being that person she can lean on was important to me. And I wanted to have that relationship with her just so that like if she was struggling, like I know she probably is, like she has someone to lean on too.
Yeah,
it's been great to ask Emily some questions, like if I have some, like yeah, if my rehab is going bad, I'm like, did you feel the same or did your knee hurt? Yeah. And she was like, yeah, I did.
Okay. So like, yeah, like because there's certain parts of the rehab process, you're thinking maybe this shouldn't hurt, but it still does.
Yeah.
So I mean, without getting too much into the medical detail, obviously you had your surgery. You were on crutches for a while. You're walking around without the crutches now. So how do you feel like the rehab is coming along?
I feel it's great. I think rehab is the best part of my day. Like
when you have rehab,
yeah,
you do that in the training room.
Yeah,
with
every morning.
Who's your rehab? Carissa.
Carissa. Carissa is helping a lot. Like
nice. Shout out to Carissa Carr.
Yeah. Shout out
trainer.
To Carissa.
Yeah, I remember for me during that like rehab process, like you know you don't have basketball on, like as a main thing anymore, so you treat that like as your sport and you're competing in that every single day. So it's been great to see Marta like flourish in that.
Nice. And you know, when you're injured like you are and you're not able to contribute in terms of playing, what ways have you found this season, like Emily had to last season, to contribute to the team, even though it's not on the court?
I mean, like get going, the coach's goals and everything they say as...
I could start.
Okay. Yeah, please.
Okay. For me, like I remember last year, like, you know, when you're not making an impact on the court, you try your best to be like where your 2 feet are and being present with the team that you're with, even though you're not playing.
Yeah.
So making an impact off the court as much as you can was something that I really wanted to focus on. So I was like the turkey girl every time, everywhere I would go first class. I was like, hey, I saw you. You're holding the turkey signs. Like,
yeah, that's me. Yeah.
And then like, so like being like super exuberant and like, and that, and like, oh, there's a turkey out, blah, blah, blah. Or trying to know the scout the best, that like, when the players are playing, like you can be like, oh, this is the play. Like, so it's like taking
ownership.
Yeah. Ownership and accountability over those things where like you're not actually performing them. So making sure that they're performing them to the best of their ability.
I mean, yeah. No, I'm the turkey girl.
Are you the turkey girl now?
Yeah, she is.
Nice, nice. I can't even tell because where I'm sitting and you're down at the other end of the bench over there, it's like I have so many people sitting there. I can't even. Although I have seen in the photos, we had a great photo from.
No, I hate this one. No.
It was amazing, Marta. Come on, it was such a candid moment.
That was a great picture.
You and who was the band, the student manager?
Julie.
Yeah. That was great.
It was her first road game too, and then she just gets that photo, and it's like, well, Julie, now you're in it.
Yeah, that's true.
Now you're in it.
Always need an initiation.
Awesome. But let's talk about last Saturday a little bit. Mm-hmm. You guys went to Brown, the place where the Ivy League tournament will be held this year, and you know, you guys were on fire to start that game. 15-0 run against Brown. Wind up, I think, up 24-4 at the end of the first quarter, 41-13 at halftime. Mm-hmm. I mean, Emily, I'll start with you. Like, from your standpoint, like, what was clicking for the team against Brown?
Yeah, I think one of the main points of emphasis coming into the game was that it was like a physical visualization exercise because we are going to be playing the Ivy League tournament there. So making sure that we are playing in that space to the best of our ability, because when we do go to the Ivy League tournament, that's where it's going to be held. So, I mean, honestly, it was just a show out. We shut them out. And it honestly started on defense, I think. Like, starting a 15-0 run is really impressive. And,
yeah,
you know, shout out to that first group who started us off like that, because it really was just like there was no hope from the beginning. And 41-13 coming into the half is also very impressive.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a shutout in the first half. Yeah. So I was very happy about that.
They were 1 of 9 from the field. I just looked in the first quarter.
Brown.
Yeah.
So. I think you guys turned them over 6 times in the first 5 minutes of the game. I mean, you guys came out with that press, and it just felt like Brown had no answer for it.
Yeah, that the press to start the game really was just like suffocating, and you could tell, like, even the announcers on TV were like, there was no answer for them. Like, it was just so evident that there was no hope to even just from the start.
Yeah. And then, Marta, from your standpoint, just talk about the Brown game a little bit. Like, what do you feel like was really clicking from the team outside of what we just talked about?
I agree with the press. Like, Maria did a really good job in the beginning pressing them. And also, I feel like coming together, and even when the second group, not the starters were playing.
Yeah, I see where she's going with this. Like, the second group also, like, came in with the energy. Like, our first couple of subs when they came in were just, like, it was that same, like suffocating energy, and like when you have your 1 through 12 coming in with that like that's exhausting for teams.
Everything was everybody was ready to go.
And then obviously you guys, that made you guys 8-0 in the Ivy League for the first time in program history, and also like fairly recent news, you guys are back receiving votes in the AP poll. So
super excited.
And like, talk about, you know, you guys are seeming, it seems very similar to last year, to be honest with you, except that you guys are now even better in Ivy League play, but really starting to gain that national recognition here as we peak toward, as we get right into March, mid-February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you know, the AP votes, it's very like rewarding. It's a rewarding feeling, but at the end of the day, we know that those don't really mean anything. So like, almost keeping our heads when it comes to that, like, we're doing our same thing, we're all focused on the same mission, and that's winning the Ivy League tournament so that we can get that that bid, and we don't need that, you know, like,
we don't want to have to sweat it out on selection Sunday like we did last year.
That was very stressful. That was you know, obviously it was still a great opportunity, and that was amazing in its own right, but like, you know, winning an Ivy League tournament, especially with Kitty and CC's last year, and Coach D never doing that, that would be something very special, and something we are focused on doing. So
it's
got to keep it pushing.
And we hit on this a little bit before, but you do go to Barnard College, and there's a special relationship, and as the podcast listening audience knows, because we've had other Barnard students on this podcast as well, Columbia Barnard formed an athletic consortium in the early 1980s. But the special, you go to school right across the streets, have all the same benefits as a regular Columbia student. You know, Columbia and Barnard are very close university-wise, institutionally. But talk about your Barnard experience and why you enjoy Barnard College.
Yeah, so I would say it's honestly really cool. Like, the universities are on two separate, literally across the street from each other. But, like, how the, I would say, vibes are so different. I would say, like, Columbia's, like, you know, it's always popping, and, like, there's always people walking around. But Barnard's, like, a more chill, like, and, you know, you get the best of both worlds going to Barnard, because I can take as many Columbia classes as I want if I wanted to. I can take all Barnard classes if I wanted to. So I think, like, the universities do such a good job of, like, conjoining it and making it seem like one, but also having their own identities, which has been cool. So, I've always really appreciated that.
Nice. And just want to put it out there, I've seen, like, photos of it. Have you been in the new fitness center or whatever they've built over at Barnard? What's it called?
The Milstein Fitness Center?
Yeah. Some of the Barnard folks were telling me about it.
Cheryl Milstein has done, like, a very incredible job, like, transforming that section. And she's actually a very big a donor of ours, which is also very cool. But, it's been really special to see that part of the campus, like, bloom.
Yeah. And as we talked about, Friday is Barnard night, so it'll be cool. President Rosenberry, the president of Barnard College, will be at the game. I think she's doing a t-shirt toss, by the way.
Really? So
I think it's at the end of the first quarter. So
make sure you duck. Sometimes.
Well, hopefully it's the other side. I think she's throwing them out to the other side
of
the gym.
I've almost been taken out by t-shirts in a few places.
Well, so that'll be fun. And Barnard night is always a special night that the Columbia Women's Basketball Program holds annually where there's a lot of Barnard representation at the game. And, you know, there's the groups and the, like we said, the president's going to be there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we recognize the Barnard student athletes on the team. So mm-hmm. you and Blau.
Blau, yeah.
Yes. You and Blau take any classes together?
We did last semester, not this semester. I think we had two last semester. So that was
okay.
fun.
Okay.
You guys have the Gap Saturday this weekend. It's a little bit non-traditional. Usually you do the Friday, Saturday. Just how do you prefer that? Is that nice to have the day to reset and prepare for the next team? Obviously, you're all in on Dartmouth right now, but when you get to that point?
Yeah. So how we spread it usually is like we'll do the second team the first half of the week, and then we'll take a rest day. Like today's our reset day, and then the next 2 days we'll focus on Dartmouth, so because it's right there. But I think like having that day in between is nice, just because first of all, so our bodies can rest, like that's going to be really important, but also like a mental shift almost, like now we can fit like 100% go all in on Harvard, which is going to be really important. So we're going to spend the day practicing against Harvard as well. And it's also an earlier game for Harvard. It's at 12,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, 12.
So I'm not sure if we're going to be able to have a shoot around. So like having that full day to just lock in on Harvard is going to be important.
And all at home too. It's nice you don't have to be traveling between, have an extra day on the road.
Yeah. What do you think, Marty?
No, I love home games for sure. Like the crowd feeds us with energy. Yeah, they're like rooting for us, everything we do. It's just like the atmosphere in the gym. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just such a like revitalizing feeling almost. Like when you're going to other people's gyms, which we've been Road Warriors this year, so
that's right.
We've had quite an experience with that. But like it's in its own right, it's cool to be like the villain coming into somebody else's gym. But having like a whole gym supporting you like is such like a refreshing like. Like, even when we're down, we know that the crowd's got our back, and that support is so nice. So,
yeah. And you guys have won 19 straight at home in the regular season.
Yep.
And I believe that the Ivy League winning streak now is 18 straight games, which is 8 this year and the last 10 of last season. Mm-hmm. So, you guys have, you know, not only, like, dominated at home, but turned into, like, a powerhouse in the Ivy League, which I know has been Coach Griffith's goal since day one, and it's coming to fruition, but you can't, the process never stops.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. And she makes sure that we're locked in, like, you know, we win and then now it's on to the next, you know?
That's right. That's right. So before I let you two go, I know you both are, well, first year and sophomore. But talk about your kind of what interests you. You haven't declared a major yet, but talk about your area of study and like what you are interested in, just because I think the people who listen like to know.
Yeah. So I'm a sophomore, so I'm probably going to declare by like the end of the semester. I'm going to major in sociology and minor in econ. I think it's good to have like a humanities and then the STEM, like having that like balance is good and having like a full rounded education, which is nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, Barnard and Columbia has done a great job with that. So,
yeah. And I don't want to like wish away your years, but do you think grad school is in your future, or do you think, like just straight into the professional workforce?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, obviously, we'll come down that line when we cross it, but, you know, the blessing in disguise when it comes to being injured so early is that I do get an extra year.
That's correct. Yeah. So grad school.
So me and Marty Party get to have an extra year.
Oh, Marty Party. That's, she is secretly hysterical.
She
and people
is.
Will find that out.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's been really nice because I feel like I've gotten to know Marta way more than I ever would have because, you know, when we, especially because we've had so many road games and we were in shoot arounds and stuff and you guys are on the court and sometimes I'll go over and check on Marta, ask her how the Tour de France is going on the bike.
Yeah, I mean, Marty Party's coming to town next year. That's all I got.
Let's try. I think people Marta, I saw you in preseason. I think people are in for a little bit of a surprise.
I don't know.
I know you're only a first year and you have a lot of time to think about this, but, you know, is there any classes or areas of study that you're thinking about?
No. I wanted to do economics, but after my first semester, I don't think anymore.
Well, that's why you're here, to figure it out.
Yep. Got time.
It's good. If you take a class and you're like, this isn't for me, so.
Yep. It's beauty college, Marty.
That is. But you got a lot of time to figure it out. I don't want to wish away your years either. Mm-hmm. A lot of basketball and a lot of years still left out of the two of you. Mm-hmm. So thank you both for joining us this week.
Yeah, thank you so much
and,
for having us.
And good luck in the two games this weekend.
Thank you very much.
And we'll see you out there.
See you.
Thanks.
Hockey means the world to me. When you see me on the ice, You'd never know I was born with half a heart. But Dr. Basha and his team at New York Presbyterian re-engineered my heart so the right side does all the pumping. I had 3 surgeries before I turned 3, so I can go all out, especially when I'm on the ice. Half a heart, I'm all heart.
Welcome back. It's our part 2 of our interviews this week on the Morningside Hoops podcast. Kyle Matrician, Steve Merrill. And today we are joined by a local product, junior Blair Thompson from right here in New York City. Blair, thanks for coming to talk to us today.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Awesome. It is. It's a good week for you to be here. You picked a good week.
Yeah, definitely.
We got the right guy.
You got the right guy. Yes. Obviously, great win for you guys. Really momentum boosting win. We were talking about it a little bit before we started recording this past Saturday against Brown. We'll talk about that game a little bit, but first we do like to kind of reintroduce you to our podcast listening audience. Like I said, Blair, a junior forward out of New York City, went to Northfield Mount Hermon in Mass for his prep. But just first of all, just, you know, reintroduce yourself to the podcast listening audience a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm Blair Thompson. Grew up in New York, born and raised. Played for the New York Jayhawks. And I actually went to Xavier on 16th Street until I went to preparatory school at Northfield Mount Hermon in Mass. But, yeah, I played with Avery and Jake in high school, so that's pretty cool, coming to college with both of those guys. Yeah.
How much does that help to have high school teammates that you also play in college with? I mean, this is a team that already has great continuity at the collegiate level, but, you know, a lot of you guys have played together in high school. So how does that, like, help?
Nah, it definitely helps, especially, like, chemistry-wise. I see it most, I would say, with Avery, just because, like, he's a point guard. So knowing, like, kind of like where he's at on the court and spacing, kind of like decision making that he likes and what I like, just makes it easier. But same thing with Jake. Like, I know the type of player he is. I know what he's about. So it kind of adds like a big level of, like, comfortability, I would say, playing with both of them.
How long did you guys play together before you came to Columbia?
Yeah, so I played with Avery for 2 years, and then I played with Jake for 1 year because he graduated the year after. Okay.
And how much did those guys either influence you or you influence them to, like, come here together? I'm sure, like, it wasn't fully planned the whole time, but I'm sure it did help the decision-making.
It did help. I was in the car when Jake, like, told our coach at the time that he was going to commit to Columbia, so that was pretty cool. But, yeah, I would say, I committed before Avery, so I would say.
So you feel like you helped Avery commit here?
Yeah, definitely a little bit.
Yeah.
He knew I was coming and everything. I was telling him about the school, and then I kind of see the tides were kind of shifting towards him coming to Columbia, so I was pretty excited about that.
It made it easier for the coach's recruiting trail, right? Getting all of you in the same spot.
Yeah, I remember.
You saved him some miles.
Yeah, like when Toby would come, he would talk to when he would come to North Mount Hermon, he would talk to me and then talk to Avery. It was pretty easy. Yeah.
That's great.
Do you take pride, and I'm sure you do, but, like, how much pride do you take in being a New York City guy playing at a New York City school, the only Division I program in Manhattan?
Yeah, I definitely take a lot of pride in that, and it was definitely a large part of me coming here. Like I said earlier, like, I just enjoy being in the city, and my friends come to a lot of the games. My parents come to almost every game, and so it's, like, a big support system for me. But just in terms of, like, the culture in New York City, I feel great repping that, and especially with Columbia being in Manhattan, like, not a lot of schools are in that kind of area. Like, St. John's is far Queens, you know what I mean?
I went to St. John's. It's a hike from here.
Yeah,
basically Long Island. I didn't say that, though. Don't tell anybody. So tell us a little bit. What part of the city did you grow up in?
Yeah, like, Lower Manhattan. So I would spend a lot of time on the Lower East Side, but like Tribeca, downtown, just that whole area.
So are you the guy when the team, like, has recruits here that, you know, you're kind of showing them, or you're like, oh, they should go here, they should go there, or, like, when they come on their visits? Do you go on a lot of these visits?
I go on a lot of visits, but I wouldn't say I'm the guy that they go to, like, show around. Because, honestly, I stayed, like, when I was younger, I wasn't really going out and about to a lot of the different spots. Like, when people ask, like, what's your favorite pizza spot, like, I grew up going to, like, dollar pizza places, so I never really know what to say. But yeah, some of the other guys that come here and then they're, like, excited about finding certain spots, they might be a little bit better to, like, talk about it.
So, okay. So, you were more, like, stuck to your local brand loyalty.
Yeah, it's just whatever was convenient at the time. Yeah.
So do you see yourself like staying here long term beyond your basketball career? I mean, I know I'm sure you want to play at the next level, but I know you declared as a psychology major, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're still a junior, so you have some time to decide. But tell us like what you'd like to do after Columbia.
Yeah, definitely would still like to play basketball. That's definitely my first goal. And then whatever after that takes place, I'm grateful for. But staying in New York would be definitely cool. But I'm open, honestly, to everything, I would say.
All right. Let's get into the basketball a little bit. You guys, huge win, like we talked about a little bit, and we'll talk about here in a second, against Brown, 74-72 this past Saturday. And we won't glaze over you at the end of the game with that putback. I mean, the game winner. Yeah. With how much? 8 seconds left? Yeah. Something like that?
I think you also had like 15 rebounds in a span of 8 seconds. You had two offensive boards off of Kenny.
He had 16 rebounds for the game.
Yeah, that was
11 and
16.
High. Yeah.
But the last sequence of the game, you had two offensive rebounds before the eventual game-winning putback with a couple seconds left. Just kind of walk us through that last sequence there of that game.
Yeah, like it was a pretty scrappy game, especially at the end. We knew we had to apply pressure to them, so we were just trying to get them to turn the ball over. And I knew, like, since we're down, like, every rebound matters, like, every pass, every steal. So I was just trying to look to attack the glass. But when I saw Kenny missed off the front rim, I just was trying to track the ball. And then it was pretty hectic from there, but it was all fight or flight. But
and you had six offensive rebounds in the game. You were very active on the glass. What's gone into your rebounding game this season? I mean, your numbers are up. You're averaging almost 6.5 rebounds a game. That's top 10 in the Ivy League.
Well, 16 in one game doesn't hurt.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And your second double-double of the season, which is very impressive. So just like, how have you improved on the glass this season?
Well, our coaches make it like a really strong point of our team is just rebounding. Like, we harp on it all the time. And so I feel like that helped in like technique-wise, but just kind of understanding the nuance of like, when to go out to hit and when to see if your guy's not actually crashing or various things like that. So, but on the offensive end, it's just trying to see where the ball is going to hit off the rim. And I feel like I got a little bit better with that, just like timing-wise.
In speaking to Gianni and Gerard last week on this podcast, we talked about, you know, what does this team need to do to kind of like turn the corner here, right? And they talked a lot on last week's podcast about really focusing on defense last week in practice, really focusing like that's the part of the game we know we need to improve on, right? And then you guys reach halftime against Brown down 42-33. What clicked in the second half? Like, do you feel like something clicked in the second half where you only allow 30 points, you know, you give up 72 for the game, which is much better than some of these previous Ivy League games. What do you feel like happened in the second half, or do you feel like something clicked?
Yeah, our coaches were just really, really stressing the importance of the defense and stopping like three-point looks. I feel like we did a really good job preventing them from getting threes off. But basically just playing team defense, I feel like that's what we're realizing as a team, is really understanding like when you need to rotate, when you need a black or help or switch off or various things like that. And understanding those type of things is really what's going to take our team to the next level. And so I feel like a lot of the other games we lost because of defense. I feel like offensively we do pretty well, but on the defensive end, we just got to like take it to that next level in order to get it to playoff contention. So,
well, yeah, I don't want to say anything, Steve, but we did have Gerard, like I said, on this podcast last week. And then he goes off for 22 off the bench, 8 of 9 shooting. So, Blair, you might be in for a good one this week.
You got two games. So,
you got two games to do it. No, but talk about from your standpoint, you know Gerard better than either of us do. Like, how great is that for him to have that kind of game, especially to help you guys win?
Yeah, it's definitely big. I think it's really important for his confidence because he does it all the time in practice. So we're not really surprised at it, I would say. But just knowing that he's ready for those moments is going to help later on making big shots and making big plays, especially at the end of the game.
Your Ivy League Rookie of the Week right there, Gerard
Ivy
O'Keefe.
League. Tell us about it, Steve.
Yeah, no, game high, 22 points for the Lions. He was 8 of 9 from the field, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. He really stepped up and I think was one of the key factors in that sparking that comeback.
I would say, I guess my question for you is, going into that game, did coach or you guys, like know like Gerard was going to be a big part of this game today, or did it just kind of happen for him?
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say we like anticipate specific players like having like massive games, but yeah, we knew he was going to definitely be essential to us winning.
Okay,
and he was going to play minutes. So
yeah, I was going to say, because sometimes you play some teams, I know like there might be certain matchups you're trying to exploit, right? So I didn't know if maybe Gerard make a certain matchup or a certain play style that Brown plays that really helps Gerard out.
Looking ahead to this weekend, the Dartmouth-Harvard trip, it's a tough trip. It's a back-to-back. You have the ride after the Dartmouth game to Harvard. Just tell us, you've done it twice now. This is your third time doing it. You know, what's the key to prepare for that, to have a successful weekend here on the road?
Definitely a lot of scouting, going over the plays, going over their defensive sets, what we think their coverage is going to be like. And then also just understanding that we're just taking it game by game and that every game is the most important game of the season. So, like, we're going to look forward to Dartmouth, and then right after that, we're going to look forward to Harvard. So,
is there any advice you can give to, you know, Gerard, Gianni, about this trip? Because, you know, you play non-conference games on the road. We went to Albany, but this is different because it's a back-to-back in conference play. It's the first of the season. You know, what would you be telling those younger guys about what to expect?
I feel like a lot of people don't like the away trips, but I kind of like them because you can just really focus on basketball. It's hard when you're trying to juggle school and various things, but on these away trips, basketball is central, so you can watch a ton of film, get with the coaches whenever you want, and we're on the court a lot, so I think it's going to be good for them.
We've had other people on this podcast and on the women's side too say the same exact thing, where you go on the road and you kind of just feel like it's almost like you're not going on vacation, but like you just are cut off from everything else, right? You can kind of just be in that basketball mindset, and you don't have, you know, you're not walking outside the building seeing all these people, you know, oh, I got to go see this person, I got to go do this, I got to do, you know, it's very much basketball focused. So
yeah, I definitely love that.
Yeah. So you guys, you know, the way that the Ivy League schedule has been the last couple of years, you just did a back-to-back against Harvard and Dartmouth at home, 2 weekends ago. What do you feel like, without talking about the scout, but what do you feel like are your focuses? And I know you guys focus one game at a time, so we'll talk about Dartmouth on Friday. What are you guys working on this week for the Dartmouth game?
Definitely defense, like a lot of defense, being in the gap. Like I said earlier, talking about team defense, is understanding that if someone, let's say, on their team is ISOing one player, we have to play as a team. It's not like they're just on an island for the whole game. So just understanding how we can help each other in various spots, and just make up for defensive blunders without making it obvious or just letting them score. So, yeah, second efforts is definitely, I would say, the main focus.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as an offensive rebounder, one of the best in the Ivy League this season, that's going to be a key. Just tell us, like, the road atmosphere at these places. You know, Harvard's a tough place to play, and Dartmouth can get filled out pretty good. You know, how important is it to like lock in and just worry about you guys only? You know, everyone else is rooting against you. How important is that?
Yeah, I think Dartmouth's atmosphere is great, but I would say it's no different than any other game. It's just understanding that, like I said earlier, each game is as important as the next, so you have to just take it game by game. And honestly, every game is going to be like really important for our season, so yeah. We understand the importance of that, and we have a lot of urgency.
Right. You guys have had your backs against the wall plenty of times before. So how much confidence are you guys going into this weekend with?
Oh, yeah, we have a ton of confidence. We're going to expect nothing less than what we're capable of doing in Columbia Identity. So I know we're going to go in and get two Ws. So I'm excited, honestly.
To you and to the team, what is that Columbia Identity? What do you guys do, like play with?
Well, we play together. You can see it on the offensive end, especially. We move the ball. We like to get everyone involved. And defensively, we're scrappy and we play tough. So we're going to play to that on this weekend.
Nice. Steve, I got a fun fact for you here.
Let's go.
And I'm sure you know this. You guys say you move the ball around. You guys are currently, and correct me if I'm wrong, 11th in the country in assists per game at 17.8.
Yeah, I had them as 12th.
That's
yesterday,
today.
But
sorry,
that's updating.
I literally just pulled
updating
it up.
Updating on Wednesday, yeah.
Literally just pulled
that's
it up.
Correct.
11th in the country at 17.8 assists per game. 19th in the country in assist to turnover ratio.
I guess the question would be, what goes into having so many selfless players on a team? Where it doesn't seem like you guys force a lot of shots. You wait for the right look on each possession to get, you know, the best possible scoring chance.
Yeah, people might look at the players, but I think, honestly, it has a lot to do with the system and the coaching. We're put into a position where we can find other people for good looks. We try to, like, pass up, like, okay looks for great looks. So I feel like just that in itself allows us to have a lot of assists. And we do have a lot of unselfish players that are just willing to swing the extra pass on a whatever kick out or various things like that. Like, we just play for each other, so that shows up.
Is that something you guys do in practice where you, and I've seen teams do this kind of drill before, where you can't score until at least three or four people have touched the ball, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We do stuff like, or maybe one person isn't even allowed to touch the ball just to see how we can manipulate the offense and move around. And because obviously, like in games, people deny certain players. So we learn just how to play through that. Yeah, we just learn how to pass the ball around, be unselfish, and find good looks.
Awesome. I guess we can let him go. All right. Well, Blair, appreciate the time. Thanks for coming in today. Like we said, the men's basketball team has two games this weekend at Dartmouth on Friday at 6 p.m. and also at Harvard Saturday at 6. So good luck to you and the rest of the team.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Blair.
And that is going to do it for episode 6 of the Morningside Hoops podcast. Steve, what'd you think?
I thought they were great conversations. Learned a lot from Blair. Learned a lot from Emily and Marta, and what they kind of had the same situation with the injury. And, you know, that's not easy, but I feel like when you have a teammate by your side who's been through something that you have, that definitely helps your progress and your process in coming back, especially mentally. So great conversations, coming off great wins past weekend, more big games this weekend. We'll see how it all plays out.
That's true. And no, I also thought it was great. It's always great when you have two people that haven't done this before on the women's side, Marta and Emily, kind of introduce them to everybody. Because like we always talk about, they're basketball players, but they're human beings and they're, you know, real people that have real personality. So thanks again to all of our guests, Blair, Marta, and Emily. As we've talked about, the Columbia men's and women's basketball teams are both in action with two games this weekend. The men are on the road on Friday at 6 to take on Dartmouth. The women will be home Friday at 7 to take on the Big Green. That is Barnard night, and there's also Play for K night here at Levian Gymnasium. And then Saturday, the men complete a back-to-back on the road at Harvard. The women will be playing on Sunday. That game got moved to Sunday at 12 noon for ESPNU, so you can catch that game if you're not going to be here on ESPNU. Again, this is the Morningside Hoops podcast. You can catch us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Odyssey, wherever you catch your podcasts. We are there. Just search for Columbia Athletics and Morningside Hoops. Until next time,
go Lions.